Lord, we thank you for gathering us today, and Lord, we know that it's not coincidence that those who are here today are here. Lord, we thank you for your hand which leads and guides us, and we thank you for your Holy Spirit that leads us into all truth. And God, we ask that you would open our hearts during this time of the sermon, Lord. I pray that anything I say that you have for us would be remembered and applied in our lives, and anything I say that is not of you, we would forget forever. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
A few of us from Brownsville Community Church recently had the opportunity to go down to Gordon-Conwell to a one-day seminar, which was basically all about church growth in Maryland. And it was a very good seminar. It was a very good time. New England has the stigma of being a very difficult place to plant and grow a church. People refer to it as rocky soil. People often make jokes about how, oh, you're going to go be a church planter in New England? Good luck. I hope you have a third job. But, you know, there are really wonderful and exciting things happening all over New England. One of the absolute greatest revivals in the history of the church started here, right? The Great Awakening. It happened once. It can happen again. People are describing what's happening in New England right now to be somewhat like campfires that are popping up all over the place. It's not like a big dark curtain has been draped over New England and the light of the gospel can't penetrate our frozen, chosen hearts, right? The Lord is moving in New England, and you are a part of that. It is a really exciting time to be a follower of Christ, and a really exciting time to be a part of the church in New England, because there are people that have been praying for revival for years. The Lord has even laid it on the heart of a group of Chinese businessmen from mainland China who have said, the light of the gospel has gone out in New England. We need to pray. And they're buying church buildings up and down the coast of Maine and finding missionaries to plant churches in those old defunct buildings, because they believe that God has blessed them and has called them to use their blessings for the furthering of his kingdom. I mean, who would have thought that, right? So the place that the gospel originally came from and went out to places like East Asia and Africa, those places are now sending resources and missionaries back to New England because we've become one of the darker places in the world at this time. So God has you in place, sort of as his agents on the ground, as it were. You know the culture, you know the way things work here, you know the language, you know the nuance and the idiosyncrasies of being able to communicate with New Englanders. The kind of things that if you were to try to go to the Congo or something, you would go to school and study to learn. You are already masters in that. You have your PhD in the English language. And you're working on it in your Bible degree. So, but my point to you is that it's hard for us to imagine something like a Great Awakening or a big revival happening here in New England. Someone at a big church convention in Dallas once said, New England, the place where good pastors go to die. Preacher's graveyard, yes. New England, the place where the little white churches on the town greens are turning into art galleries everywhere. And it's the churches, places where the churches that are still barely surviving are doing so by selling off their stained glass windows and their pews. It's a sad state of affairs in some places, but it's not happening here. The Lord is at work amongst us. I think you can recognize that. It's an exciting time to be here. You know, John Wesley, he was part of the Great Awakening. He was, as you know, an Anglican priest and also the founder of the Methodist movement. And he was no stranger to the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. If John Wesley were here today, I don't know that he would recognize the New England that we live in right now. We are focusing today a bit on the person and the work of the Holy Spirit as pertains to our lives and as pertains to the spread of the gospel in New England. Wesley understood the critical importance and necessity of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He wrote, "I observed many years ago, it is hard to find words in the language of men to explain the deep things of God. Indeed, there are none that will adequately express what the Spirit of God works in His children. But perhaps one might say, by the testimony of the Spirit, I mean an inward impression on the soul, whereby the Spirit of God immediately and directly witnesses to my spirit." End quote. That's John Wesley from The Witness of the Spirit. So something that many have been praying for in New England for years is the renewal of the body of Christ and revival in the land, the reinvigorating of those that have been following Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a professor down in Gordon-Conwell whose specialty and focus in his whole academic career has been the study of the Great Awakening and other revivals in New England, and he is getting very excited. We say history tends to repeat itself, right? He's not discouraged by the darkened state of New England. Rather, in studying history, he sees parallels in the times just before the great revivals in New England and the times that we are living in right now. He sees the signs of the times. It's starting to come back around again. We need to learn all we can as a church and as followers of Christ about the movement and work of the Holy Spirit, how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, how to listen, how to obey that voice so that we can be willing and ready vessels to be used by God's Spirit in reviving the hearts and souls of our friends and neighbors here in New England. The Holy Spirit is the way by which God the Father and Jesus Christ, God the Son, are revealed to us. If we look back at the gospel lesson from today, Jesus is giving his final parting instructions to his disciples. He's getting ready to go to the cross, and he's not going to be with his disciples much longer. And he says, "I have said these things to you while I'm still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you." That's one of the roles of the Holy Spirit, is to teach us and to remind us what God has said to us in His holy word. So by the Holy Spirit, we receive God's love poured into our hearts. And it's by the Holy Spirit that we are able to know and sense God's love. And when you have experienced the love of God, it is something that you cannot help but have a burning desire to share with those around you, even those who in our earthly minds we might think are not worthy of it. The Holy Spirit is the revealer of all truth. He will never guide us into a lie. He will never lead us astray. He will guide us into what is true, and He will provide the contrast against what is not. The Bible was not written and handed down to us and defended by the lives of so many who have gone before that we might simply gain knowledge and facts. The role of the Holy Spirit is to take this written word and bring it to life in our hearts in such a way that we cannot help but be changed on the deepest levels. Bringing the reading of Holy Scripture from our heads and quickening it in our hearts by revealing its truth is the job of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't act in a way different from God the Father or God the Son. He only says and does those things that he hears and sees the Father doing. The Holy Spirit is God just as much as he, as the Father, and just as much as the Son. But he is the conduit by which we now know God, by which we know God's love in our hearts, and by which we know God's truth revealed in Holy Scripture. The Holy Spirit is a doorway to a relationship with Jesus Christ. This is God the Father's plan, that Jesus be revealed by the Holy Spirit to us. Further, in the Gospel of John, in chapter 16, it says, "But when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you." If anything life-changing is revealed to us, it will be by the Holy Spirit. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, because they are foolishness to that person, and they cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Everything that God does in and through our lives is by the work and operation of the Holy Spirit. And to be without the reality of the Holy Spirit is to be without the reality of the understanding of God. It's important for us to understand things about the Holy Spirit, because we are called to discern the movement and the activity of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is also a very personal one. He knows who we are. Does that scare us? He seeks us personally. He knows those places in our lives where the light of Christ has been able to penetrate, and he knows those places where it is still working on that. In a very personal way, the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to our hearts. And although the church is a corporate body, entry into the church is still a very personal thing. The Holy Spirit opens the door to the kingdom of God for each of us by introducing us to Jesus. It is the Holy Spirit that draws us. So as we seek to share Christ with our friends and our neighbors, it is critical that we do so under the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul says this. He says, "My message and my preaching were not wise with persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power." If you know Jesus, and if you are following him, you have been touched by God's power. You might not have had a Damascus Road conversion like the Apostle Paul did, you know, where you had to go blind and hear the voice of Jesus on the road and have all these wild things happen. And I've talked to people who have said, "Boy, I wish I had a better testimony." I've been guilty of saying that in my mind myself. You know, "Boy, wouldn't it have been great if I had really walked off into sin and then been zapped by God and brought back, and what a contrast in my life." But, you know, it's really a blessing to not have all of that stuff dragging around behind you, too. But if you have been touched by God, Jesus is Lord of your life, you have been delivered from sin, you have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God's beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And that is a spiritual miracle that has taken place in your life. And that testimony is powerful. The there's lots of different ways to be able to share with others what God has done in your life. I have a really simple one I want to remind you of. You know, you think, well, pastor evangelism is not my gift. We are all called to share what God has done in our lives. There is a gift of evangelism, but you can still talk to your neighbor about what God has done. Sometimes people look at it this way. Here's what my life was like before Christ. Here is how I came to Christ. And here is what my life is like now that I'm following Christ. You can argue doctrine from Scripture till you're blue in the face. And there are some things that the church has been arguing about doctrinally for a very long time. And it will continue to argue about it until Jesus returns and sets the record straight and it doesn't matter anymore. But no one can argue with your testimony. You are an eyewitness to the work of Jesus Christ in your life. It happened to you. Nobody can argue with it. As we share our testimonies, as we share Scripture that has impacted our lives, it is the Holy Spirit who convinces people that Jesus truly is the Son of God. And that his death on the cross does mean something personally for them. It is the Holy Spirit that draws people. It is the Holy Spirit that tells them that they need to believe in Christ and give themselves totally to him. It is the Holy Spirit who teaches people to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And it is only the Holy Spirit who is able to teach people how to love one another. It's possible for people to put on great programs and great campaigns that God never intended to bless. Instead of following the leading of the Holy Spirit, they do what makes sense to them, it looks good on paper. But the power of God is not in it, and it falls flat. And our efforts will fall flat without the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to close with an account of a move of the Holy Spirit of God. All the way back in 1796. Anybody remember that year? Yeah, Skip does. Excellent. Okay. There was a guy by the name of McGrady who became pastor of three little churches in Logan County, Kentucky. Right? Not exactly a urban center. Maybe a little bit like Brownsville. I don't know. You know? There was a Methodist preacher there named Peter Cartwright, and he described it. He says, it was called Rogue's Harbor. Here, many refugees from almost all parts of the Union fled to escape justice or punishment, and it was a desperate state of society. Murderers, horse thieves, highway robbers, counterfeiters all fled there until they combined and actually formed a majority. So after several days of meeting, and worshiping together and hearing preaching, the power of God seemed to shake the whole assembly. And towards the close of the sermon, the cries of the distressed arose almost as loud as the voice of the preacher. After the congregation was dismissed, the solemnity increased till the greater part of the multitude seemed engaged in the most solemn manner. No person seemed to wish to go home. Hunger and sleep seemed to affect nobody. Eternal things were the vast concern. Here, awakening and converting work was to be found in every part of the multitude, and even some things strangely and wonderfully new to me. 1796 might seem like a long time ago, but to God, that's a few moments ago. There is no reason that if God wills it that the Holy Spirit cannot move in our midst in power and in amazing ways like that. You know what precedes revival? Repentance. Repentance is not easy. It means getting out of our own way. It means laying down our pride, our status, our power, and laying it at the feet of Jesus and saying, I am nothing without you. Anything that I have that is good is because of you. We need to repent of our sin. We need to pray for revival. Pray for New England. Pray for me. Pray for Brownsville Community Church. Pray for West Windsor. Pray for yourselves to seek and to know Jesus, to know the power and work of that Holy Spirit in your own life. When this power is brought to bear, lives are changed, addictions are broken, the lost are rescued, the broken are healed, God is glorified, and His kingdom is brought very near. In the name of Christ.
Amen. Amen.
I invite you to stand and confess your faith.